Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, everyone. It is the build-up show, Liverpool-Chelsea League Cup final looming. Wow, what an occasion. What a boss gang of lads we're going to go and watch. And we've got a boss gang of lads here in the studio. Myself, notwithstanding. We've got Steve Plunkett and Sam Walker in here to discuss this. Yeah, wow, silverware in February. Oh, you know what I mean? I could get involved in this. What have we been so? Where have we maligned this for so long? Get to go to Wembley, maybe bring home a pot, have a good time out. Yeah, wow, amazing. We've just done the final word. Mm-hmm. We've just beaten Leeds 6-0, which is a big contributing factor. We had a good old natter at the end of that. A big hype about where Liverpool are at right now. I am so excited for this football match because we can have our thoughts, feelings, opinions on the League Cup and where it fits into the pantheon of silverwares over the years. Not arsed. It's a massive game of football. It's at Wembley. It's a one-off game of footy. If Liverpool win it, they get the added trophy. I'm buzzing for this.
And what a tonic for the rest of the season.
Yes.
In terms of momentum and self-belief and all the things that we've quite rightly revered Liverpool for over the years. It's a massive step into to what is to come. It's a great, great, great opportunity for us. And it's a chance to test ourselves against a good side. And we seem to thrive from that. You know, we don't really worry about who we're playing, which is nice. It's not always been like that. But yeah, it's better to be there than to be sat there not watching it at home, watching two other sides play. And it's an opportunity to put ourselves back on the top rung as the record winners of that trophy, taking that away from Manchester City.
That 100%. Let's use that as a starting place, Sam, because, look, for me, it's European Cup, League, and then it depends on how we mood and which one we've won
UEFA
most
Cup,
recently.
Yeah, FA Cup.
Yeah. And to the point, the League Cup sits down there, but Steve's point's put on. This is why I was more years than ever. The second City got knocked out, I was like, right, go and win this now because I want us to have nine. I want us to have more. I like the fact that it's been Liverpool's competition and we haven't taken it seriously properly in years. We've got the Champions War for a reason. I want us to have the most of every trophy. I don't care what trophy it is. You know what I mean? If there's let's have the Seniors Cup. Let's have more of them than Tranmere and Everton. You know what I mean? Let's have more of those Pirelli Cups and let's have more of those Western Union Cups and let's have more than everything. Let's do it. The chance to put ourselves back in the history books is, I think, a big thing for a club like Liverpool.
It is, and we don't know how long this competition's going to last.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's bow out whenever that comes as the 9, 10, 11 times winners. We've got a bit of history with it as well. This was our last trophy we won before Klopp came in and turned things round. Mm-hmm. And also we lost this trophy under Klopp as well, so there's a little bit of redemption there, you know, that penalty shootout.
Yeah.
I mean, thinking about it back then and look at the team we had, the fact we even got to pens that day, it was a massive credit to Klopp and what the squad was doing.
Yeah.
Right now we walk into this game and we are absolutely flying. It's just typical Liverpool though that Man City are out, and the only other team you look at and go, you wouldn't necessarily want to play them if you had to choose. It'd be probably Chelsea. Everybody else think we've been by more than one goal.
Yeah.
But it's Chelsea we face, so we've got to actually go and win it. You know, we've actually got to win this final against a strong side and because of who we're playing as well, the knock-on effects are bigger than if it was just like Tottenham or West Ham or whatever. But because it's Chelsea and you can go and beat Chelsea and win a trophy, sends such a big message out to who we are and what we're doing.
Yeah, that's it. And right, there's a fear factor that comes with Chelsea. Let's have a chat about them, Steve, because they're a very good team. Mm. They've got an absolutely brilliant squad. They've got a great manager. They are the reigning European and now world champions. You know, we were more than happy to trumpet that from the highest heights when we were, you know, the reigning champions of both of those competitions. They should be treated with respect, not reverence at all, but respect, because they're a very, very, very good side. They are the third best team in England, I think. Mm. But that's the thing. We've been the fifth, fourth, third best. The trick here is to be the masters rather than, and put them in their place. Exactly. Liverpool gained their ground by being the plucky upstart, the underdogs. We rose to where we were. Chelsea are on that rise, but we need to make a point of letting it be known that this is not Liverpool on the way down and Chelsea on the way to overtaking us. This is Liverpool firmly fixed at the top of the mountain.
And it's a trait we had in not our modern history, but certainly our history of the football club in terms of there have been a number of people that have risen and become great pretenders and we've slapped them down and said, not yet, not yet, it's not your time now. Mm-hmm. But what you have to take into consideration somewhere in London right now is a group of lads sat at the table talking about Chelsea, bigging up their opportunity because they've got justification to think they're going to win it because they are a good side. And as you quite rightly said, you know, congratulations to them for what they've accomplished. You're right, we shouted about it, so should they. Let's not get it twisted. This is a really, really difficult game for Liverpool at the weekend, and it's a barometer for me, really. If we come out of that, we come out of it well, then the pressure's already on Manchester City, given what's going on in the league. They're going to look at that and go, well, they played Wednesday night, they rocked up at Wembley, turned over Chelsea. Now they're fully focused on us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's about messages, it's about building momentum, it's about the building the season to a crescendo, if you like.
Yeah.
And it starts in earnest on Sunday.
And look, the thing about Chelsea, saying those things about them, the European World Champions thing, it's finals experience. Mm. And it's a thing that Liverpool have got, but we're a little bit removed from all that. They're fresh into it. They are very much a cup side. And actually, Chelsea have been a cup side now, sneakily, for a number of years. You know, they've cropped up and won an odd league title or so in the last few years. Obviously, Conte being the prime example of that. But they've gotten very good at just winning silver, the very Liverpool early Premier League era. That's one thing that goes in their favour. Wembley's not been a great hunting ground for us.
I was going to say for Chelsea as well. I mean, Chelsea won an FA Cup, didn't he, 3-4 years ago, something like that. But they've lost a lot of finals. Mm-hmm. They've lost a lot of finals. They lost to City in the League Cup. They lost to Arsenal in the FA Cup twice, maybe. They've lost a good amount of finals. My biggest sort of thing coming into this game isn't necessarily about the finals, and it's with Chelsea itself, is more about this season. Is that we played them twice and we should have beaten them twice, and through, you know, us not quite being ready with a couple of players not quite right, Robertson and Bobby in that first game, or was Jota, should he have played, and then obviously the red card and we couldn't break them down. Then we go to their place, we've got a bit of a broken team, no Klopp, no goalkeeper coach, a few players out, and we 2-0 up and they score the most freak goal you've ever seen, and then they get it back to 2-2, and that kind of, the game kind of stops there, doesn't it, really? Yeah. I think we've got a bit of a point to prove here, because I think Chelsea have pulled two results out the bag against us this year, and I think we can do a lot better than we have done in those games. I think that's where I'm looking at it, thinking, yeah, come on.
I think that's a really interesting point, and you're right, because there's so much life has happened since that Chelsea game that it's hard to remember. We were doing this on the final word about how Liverpool's season just got totally and utterly disrupted by the 2-week COVID outbreak.
Yeah.
You know, we play Tyler Morton away at Tottenham. You know, we end up with, you know, just mass concerns. Leeds game gets postponed off the back of them having issues. We then struggle at Leicester. We then play, and as Sam points out there, we haven't got the manager on the touchline in that. I genuinely feel like I wanted the first league game to give me an idea of how the season was going to go, and because it's a draw, it doesn't. But we couldn't get a good reading on that because the red card changes how they approach the game. They go all out defence and they stand resolute. and we didn't get to see the best of Liverpool at Stamford Bridge, but even so, we very nearly blew them away. My sneaky feeling is that we're better than them.
Yeah.
But we haven't had, until we do it, it's just me living in hope rather than pure
expectation. No, I agree. I think we are better than them. I think we're 10 points clear of them with the game in hand across the league. That you can't argue with that. We said before we were chasing City from 12 points behind with games in hand. Games in hand don't mean anything. It's points on the board, isn't it?
But the only point I make on that, sorry, Steve, because it's more. I mean, maybe this is more like an anxiety thing talking as much as anything else. But of course, we found that we had them, and this goes back to the coming up on the rails thing. We had the measure of City when City were a miles better team than us. I mean this from a pure 90-minute head-to-head, mano-a-mano kind of situation until we do it on the pitch.
I like you. I want to see the best Liverpool turn up and do the things that we do and do them well. And then at the end of the game, we sit there and go, well, we showed them, didn't we? But I fully expect Chelsea to be pragmatic to the point of almost being defensive at the weekend.
I do as well,
So I expect them to give us a different test than the one that allows us to be best Liverpool you can be. Mm. I think we'll need to figure them out and find a way to get round their tactics, because they're not going to come and play open football. Fact of the matter is, if you come and play open against Liverpool, you get hurt.
Yeah. Mm.
Because of our quick transition, we spoke about it in the final word. So I get your point, and I totally agree with you, but I'm not sure Chelsea are going to set up in a way that allows us to be all the things that we want to see. I think we're going to have to show tactical prowess and show how good we are at solving problems, and we are good at that. Yeah. So I still expect us to win.
Just a reminder on that, and since the last time we played them, obviously at Stamford Bridge, mentioned there, no Klopp. No, and no Alisson for that one. No Thiago for that one. Milner start in midfield. Kelleher starting goal, which is interesting because, of course, it looks like Kelleher will start this game. We'll have a little brief chat about that in the second part. But like Liverpool's bench there, it's got Adrian and Pitaluga on the bench.
Yeah.
Mm. Owen Beck's on the bench. Nico's on the bench. Tyler Morton's on the bench. Liverpool's options there are the ones that get used. Keita, Oxlade-Chamberlain and Curtis Jones are who we bring on, and they're really the only options we have to bring into that game. It's night and day between that and what Liverpool have got available to them now. And, you know, Chelsea have had a couple of issues themselves around that time, but it just feels, doesn't it, Sam, like we talked about this on the final words, it feels like we're primed, but it's like anything, it's all just chat, it's all just conversation, it's all just in potential. We need to see ruthless Liverpool go out and put this to bed, because this isn't the peak of our season. We're looking at a League Cup final as potentially the first step towards what could be one of the greatest Liverpool seasons of all time, but it has to start here.
Yeah, and I think it's going to come down. I think we will get chances in the game. I think we will put Chelsea under severe pressure at times. We've just got to be clinical, and we've got to be ruthless both in defence and attack. I think that Steve's absolutely spot on there. I think they're going to play for set pieces and counter attacks. I just can't see them. There'll be moments where they've got the ball and we're maybe in our shape, but in reality, it's a big pitch, Wembley. It's a big pitch, and Trent's got a serious, you know, range of passing to hit. There's a lot of space for Robbo to run into. They're going to have Aspilicueta right wing back, realistically, because I think even Hudson-Odoi is injured. Rhys James isn't back. They're going to have Alonso up and down that left flank, who's played a lot of football, and they haven't really got many other choices. So the opportunity's there for us. I think it's just this is all about what Liverpool do and how Liverpool turn up. We are a better football team than Chelsea. We will finish the season with more points than them, and probably, unless the draw's unkind to us, go deeper in the other ones than them. But it's about what we do. It's about how Mo Salah, when he gets that chance, whether he can cut in and bend it in the corner, whether he goes wide. It's about if Sadio misses his header. It's about Fabinho making sure he's on top of his challenges. You know, those things, I feel that it's on us.
And that's the thing where I think we lost the game at Stamford Bridge. Well, obviously we didn't lose the game, but I mean, it got away from us. Yeah. They're sick. Not the Kovacic worldy, which is
the Pulisic goal.
Yeah. The Pulisic goal is that comes about because Liverpool lose two or three individual battles in a very short space of time because the crowd's up there flying up, you know, their blood's boiling in that situation, and Liverpool are just second best to a few things. That's what it's going to be, is that Liverpool, Chelsea are an amazing team. Yes, I agree. By the end of the season, I think there will be a point gulf between us in the league. They might, well, they've now got the European experience. Who knows when it comes to the European Cup? We will probably be better than them. But this is the point on this one, is that they've got those little silly mistakes that have plagued us a bit this season. You can't have them because we've seen that already. They've got similar levels of quality on the pitch. They will punish us if we're not 100% on it.
Totally. I think Sam makes the point. I think Fabinho in particular on Sunday is huge for us in terms of reading the danger and understanding it, and make a point with regards to caught the end of the Chelsea game midweek. Ziyech goes down and he's injured and Bowler Count isn't going to be available. What does that do? That means they start Pulisic. What does Pulisic want to do? He wants to run in behind our defence. So we are going to have to be awake. We are going to have to be alive to that threat. I think we'll see plenty of the ball. Hopefully we can dictate the game and control the game. It's worth mentioning at Stamford Bridge, because of the people we had available and we didn't have the boss on the touchline, I don't think we ever controlled the midfield in that game at all.
Yeah.
Even for 5 minutes. Yeah. And I think we would all say, how about we 2-0 up?
Yeah.
The game didn't look like that, but we found ourselves 2-0 up, and then they got their first choice centre midfield available. In fact, they even brought quality off the bench towards the end of the game in the centre midfield to make sure they tightened up and didn't concede anything. So I think we have to be alive to all of the threats. But in terms of where we are now, players we've got, form we've got, feeling we've got, things like we've talked about in the show prior to this one in the final word, it's a great time with a great squad, in great form, with a really good feeling to go to Wembley and make that statement. That's genuinely what I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. We touched upon Chelsea injuries. Let's have a little look at the latest on Thursday. Reece James, 25%. On February the 18th, we had a setback when he caught the flu when he was close to team training. We were waiting for him. The plan is he will rejoin the group next week, so there's a chance he'll be available for that one. Callum Hudson-Odoi is rated as 50%. This is from premierinjuries.com, by the way, so take this with a bit of a pinch of salt. Achilles injury, he could be back for this one. Hakim Ziyech went off with a knock. We don't quite know what the deal is with that. And Kovacic, the last comment on that was on the 22nd. Today is Tuesday. The League Cup final is on Sunday, so hopefully it won't be too bad, and we'll have enough time to recover players in time for another big game. And then Ben Chilwell out for the season, having done his previous.
But how much of that is written in a way that doesn't give anything away?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, they're not soft, are they?
No, we'll do the same, won't
we? Oh god, yeah. And Liverpool will be the same with Firmino and Jota. Klopp will be cards close to his chest. I think what you'll find on them, not to step too much into part two's discussion, but if they're struggling, I think he will hype up how likely they are to be involved, mainly because if you can't use them as a weapon on the pitch, you might as well use them as a weapon in the build-up and just have Chelsea prepare plans for players that might not even take to the field. But yeah, just interesting on that. I mean, ultimately, you know, it's just excuses at the end of the day. The lads who take to the field have got to do the business regardless of who's on whose side. Right, just before we head to the trivia question and break, we had a super chat that came in from Lachille. Thank you so much, one of our long-time viewers. It says, if you live in a world without Twitter and social media comments and your only focus is the Red Men TV and the on-the-pitch performances, then being a Liverpool fan is a much happier place. What a lovely comment that is.
Spot on.
Yeah, social media doesn't have to make you feel loads worse about everything in life, particularly the Reds, whereas we keep going at length. I keep having these conversations on shows. We do a lot on Final Word shows mainly, and you're like, why was everyone kicking off? Can I just assess where we're at? Best ever manager. Like, we've got we've got the best player on the planet. We haven't had that. You know, we've got all these best in the world in the positions and blah, 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 and all the things all Liverpool have done, all they've won, and all the things that all add up to something being better than anything else before. And it's like, it sounds right. Everyone's like, yeah, it sounds like, why do we feel like it's not?
Yeah.
Don't know. And then we all finish talking and we all get our phones out and we all go back to scrolling through Twitter. Yes.
Shaking our head at the things we see as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Being wound up by idiots more than necessarily the reality of Liverpool's situation. Right. Yeah, we have got a trivia question in part two. We're going to be discussing Liverpool's squad options. We had a look at the minutes that the players have been playing in rotation ahead of this football match and what that may or may not mean for the team selection. But we have got a trivia question. I want you guys to name Liverpool's starting 11 the last time they played in a League Cup final. We will return with the answer and more after this. Hey.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey guys, it's Steve here. Hopefully you are enjoying this podcast. Just want to let you guys know, if you want even more Red Men TV goodness in your ears, every single show that we produce over on our subscription service, Red Men Plus, also comes in podcast format. So you can get all of our amazing content on the go. Hopefully you enjoyed that one, and hopefully you enjoyed the rest of the show.
Hey, welcome back. Yes, do get involved with Ultimate Fan. We're having a really good laugh with it, particularly when you join the Red Men League. We'll put the link and the code in the description underneath. I'm saying that really, really slowly and clearly because I haven't pre-discussed that with Joe, but Joe's also about a metre and a half that way from me. So I'm hoping that Joe registers quite clearly that I've said that. It's already there. What a superstar. Yeah, get involved with Ultimate Fan. It's really, really good. Right, I asked the trivia question. Name our starting 11 in the 2016 League. I said the last time, but the 2016 League Cup final, Manchester City. Does anyone want to have put some names out?
Mignolet
started in goal. Right back?
Klein.
Nathaniel Klein. Who was left back? Small.
Get out.
Moreno. Alberto Moreno. Centre back pairings.
Skirtle.
No.
Oh.
No Skirtle.
Sacco.
Sacco was Love partnered. Oh no. Begins with L though. Brazilian.
Lucas
Leiva.
Was he centre back?
Yes, he was.
Centre back. We played 4-2-3-1 ostensibly in this. So centre mids.
Henderson and Milner.
The skipper Henderson. James Milner did not play centre mid in this game.
Ah, okay. So the other centre midfield have been, at the time we had Joe Allen. We had Emre Can.
Yeah. The three, we've already mentioned, James Milner was right of a three.
Coutinho would have been left.
Coutinho was left.
In the middle was, we'd have had Benteke.
Ooh, Benteke was on the bench.
Oh, Origi up front then?
Nope.
Sturridge
was up front and in behind him.
Lallana.
Nope. Roberto Firmino.
Ah, the Bobby Starr. Okay.
Yeah. Our substitute bench, prepare yourselves. Oh,
wow. Shocking this.
Adam Bogdan.
Wow.
Colo Torre, who came on after 25 minutes for Mamadou Sakho. Oh, John Flanagan. Adam Lallana. Joe Allen. Christian Benteke. And Divock Origi. Wow. So, just out of interest then, the only three remaining players in the squad, Jordan Henderson, James Milner, and our Lord and Saviour, Divock Origi, who come on after 80 minutes in that.
And he should have won us the game. I remember, it was extra time, he has a shot from about a yard and he hits it straight at the goalkeeper. He should have won us that game.
And then Caballero has a debt in the office, doesn't he?
He does, doesn't he?
One of the worst penalty shootouts in the history of the Lava football club.
Yeah. Channel missing or miss, penalties. Yeah.
Lucas.
Did we go 1-0 up as well in that?
Chance scores, first one.
Did we go 1-0 up? I think we did, didn't we? Yeah. And then
on the pens. Yeah, Fernandinho missed. Anyway, let's not fall into the mire of reminding ourselves of this one. Yeah. It's funny though, isn't it? I feel like Liverpool have come an absolute mile, and it's mad that City have actually finally updated that squad as well, which is quite interesting. But yeah, really, 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 really fun. If you got that right, you're a goddamn football savant. Give yourself a huge pat on the back. If you've got any comments on anything we're going to discuss, get them in. If you're a club legend over on Redmen Plus, use the Club Legend Discord live chat right now. And obviously use the YouTube live comments as well. And then at the end of the show, I'll read through any super chats, comments, all that kind of stuff. So get any thoughts in right now and we'll go through them. Just write Mate at the start if you want me to read them. Then I know you're talking to me. I believe, have rotated our squad magnificently here, Sam. Mm-hmm. By my reckoning, every single senior footballer for Liverpool has had minutes since we returned from the international break. A couple slightly less than others we'll come to. But what I think the mission was, Chelsea was there. And Klopp always talks about game. And I'm sure that's psychologically how he manages the squad. Mm. But Liverpool, lest we forget, have got a team of geniuses behind the scenes who work on the sports science and they work on the data and all these kind of things. They will have had this Chelsea game. And how do you peak in time for this football match and then look to carry that peak on? And I think that mission one has been to get as many of our footballers ready.
Yeah.
As possible, so that we've got a wealth of options, and I genuinely feel like we've got that for this game.
100%, and I think the most important part of our system, I think, you know, you can win games without it working, but I think the midfield, when we're at our best, we have our midfielders that are fit, that are not overly tired, are used correctly and managed, and just looking at those numbers. The one player that actually stands out and surprised me, I mentioned this before, was Keita. Yeah. He's actually played a lot more minutes than you would think. Like, when you look at him on that list, you don't think that he's, you know, he's the guy everyone talks about. He polarises opinion. He plays a lot more games of football than really he's probably given credit for.
Yeah.
And so that really surprised me.
So just to put people listening in on this one. So yeah, Keita, 241 minutes since the return, 3 starts, one sub appearance. And yeah, so in terms of a lot of, you know, he's coming up again at the right time. His overall minutes were really languishing this season, and we were having another very nabby Keita. When he plays, he looks good, but can you play him enough? He's a massive X factor, I think, in Liverpool's decision making process for the weekend, because I think he's been brilliant since the international break. Mm-hmm. I don't know if when you've got Fabinho, Henderson, Thiago available, he gets in, but there is actually every chance that he does start this game.
And I think the truth is, I think we know what the starting midfield three is. It's what we call the best midfield three. I think these are the games you want them three. It's a luxury to have Thiago available, like we said earlier, in terms of, you know, he's missed a lot of the big games this season. Mm-hmm. City, United, Chelsea again, or he came on against Chelsea. I think what we've got with Naby Keita in this game is we've got a really top quality option who can come on against a team that hopefully will be quite tired. They haven't had the opportunity to rotate like us. They've had some probably more difficult games to cope with. They've had injuries that have come across before them as well. I think what we have more in midfield that they don't is the ability to make changes if it's not controlled, if it's not quite going how we want it to go, if Chelsea do something different than we expect them to do. I'm really pleased with Keita's contribution since he's been back, and I really do hope he can continue it and make an impact on the weekend.
Yeah, because I made a point a week or so ago, Steve, Jordan Henderson had played more minutes than any other Liverpool midfield. It still remains true. And it's no shock that his performances were tailing off. We've just run him into the ground, and he carries so much of this football team on and off the field. Yep. But what we've done and what we've seen post international break, he's still playing loads of minutes, but he's played the third most minutes of our midfielders all of a sudden, as opposed to the most. And no shock, Henderson's last 3 performances, some of them off the bench, but, you know, have all been much more to the standard that we've come to expect from Jordan Henderson.
Totally, and, you know, you look at it, he's two games as a sub, and he's come on, we spoke about it, the final word. He's come on as a sub, he's steadied the ship, he's done what Henderson does, he's contributed massively to those games. He's not just come on and filled a position on the pitch, he's actually been part of the end product, the end of the result. I think that the weekend's interesting because if you go with what we think we know, which is going to be the top three for Fabinho, Hendo and Thiago, only one of them is really, really creative in terms of what they do. Mm-hmm. And we've seen Klopp start the season with Elliot in the position because you'd say arguably Chelsea's strength is defensive and Liverpool's strength is attack. So we're putting our strongest asset against their strongest asset and it's like a battle between those two.
Yeah.
Klopp may choose to put some creativity just slightly behind that to give us something a little bit different. So we'll talk about it in more detail. I wouldn't be surprised if Henderson's on the bench again.
It's a big call. I mean, you consider the skipper not. I mean, the good thing about this, there's five subs there.
Exactly.
You've got the ability to change the game. And this is what I mean as well. It was not just the 11, because I thought about this when we played Inter Milan the other weekend. I led this show with, are we going to see what Klopp's best 11 is? And I don't think we did. Mm. I think we still made three changes, which you could argue, you know, change it. And obviously some of them were dependent on injuries and availability from the forwards. But I'm even not sure if we'll do that again for this. We might go a bit, we'll probably go a bit better because I think Chelsea are better than Inter. But with the five subs thing, the horses for courses approach of we might just play a style for 60 minutes and then you can unleash for a half an hour. And it's interesting that we've done this at Wembley twice, actually, with the Charity Shield games. Yeah. Man City, where we went, and then we just went nuts at them for the final 20 minutes or whatever in that game, where he might feel that, Elliot, you wear Chelsea down, and then all of a sudden here comes one or two or three from, you know, potentially Thiago, Keita, Elliot, Henderson,
Jones Chamberlain.
You know, any of those lads could come on and kick Liverpool on
energy and bring
massively.
Just thinking about what you just said, we're kind of now looking for games where we can go, come on, Klopp, show us your best 11. There's nearly 30 players on that list there.
Yeah,
has he actually got a best 11, or has he got lots of permutations for lots of different games, lots of different eventualities and scenarios within the game? Mm-hmm. He might be happy to say, I trust all of those boys when I call upon them. So I don't have an 11. I have a whole group of lads I can rely on.
He's got a 7 or 8, maybe. I do think he has a group of players. I do think the Henderson, Thiago, Fabinho group is the best because purely on the base of balance, we all know Robertson's a stronger defender than Trent pound for pound. So therefore you can get away with having Thiago slightly inside. He's less physical than Henderson. He probably doesn't run as much when Henderson's at his pump. Slightly less defensive than Henderson. And we all know Trent's more creative than Robertson in that respect. So it's a nice balance of having two players who can, they can both defend and they can both create. Because Henderson, you mentioned something before about, I mean, he's got more assists than most midfielders this year. Mm-hmm. And he's got some absolute cracking assists. I mean, that one at United, was it one at Everton? There was one against
outside of the boot, the Gerrard style one.
The one at against Norwich. The fantastic ball. He's got that deep lying pass, and Wembley's a big pitch. Thiago's got everything, we know that. Fabinho is what he is. But so I still do think that is his three. I think that there are slight changes in form and things like that, but if Henderson is looking good as he is now, I don't understand why your captain doesn't start in a final. No, I think Thiago and Fabinho do because they're the best.
The only problem, of course, is you're entering the world where how you're taking your skipper off if you're looking to to go more. But then that's footy. Jordan should be so good that he should be, you know, or he'll understand that's going on again. It's a League Cup final in the middle of the season. This isn't the showpiece at the end of the season where everyone's dead and you know you do or die. This will be getting treated as, I suspect, how Klopp will be going. It's like, yeah, it's a big game. Yeah, it's a big game in a big pitch. But this is not the Champions League final. This is just another game on our run of. We've got every game is massively important to us at this point.
What wouldn't worry me, but what I'd be mindful of is if Chelsea set up in a certain way and we find that Thiago becomes passive because he's got a bigger defensive responsibility. you've got a three across the midfield that are a midfield which stops opportunities for the other team, and you're dragging Thiago into that by making him more passive. It depends, a lot of it depends on how Chelsea set up. With someone like Elliot in there, Elliot is different. Elliot is his awareness takes the ball into feet, shifts it, moves it. You've got a different setup. Chelsea will be expecting. They'll be sitting having their conversations, going, "You're pretty sure they're going to go with Henderson, Fabinho, and Thiago, and why wouldn't you?" Klopp might be sitting there thinking, "We'll catch him with a little bit of a surprise. It will be a little bit more on the front foot. Why not? We're confident."
Well, just to make that point, you know, go back to the game at Anfield. Liverpool's 11: Alisson, Trent, Matip, Van Dijk, Robertson, Elliot, Fabinho, Henderson's actually shifted over to the left of midfield, which is that's the only real time we've seen him do that, and it wasn't a great game for Jordan out there. Salah, Firmino, Mane was the three that started. I mean, and that told us a lot about Elliot at the time, didn't it, Sam? That we weren't sure how high in Klopp's estimation he was. And then, you know, because it's all well and good, he's come in and he's knocked Oxlade-Chamberlain out of that position. We'll go, okay, well, we can understand that. He's coming up on the rails. But then he's starting against Chelsea. I mean, Robertson comes into that game when Tsimikas has been playing really well. And that told you everything you needed to know about the pecking order then. It would be massive if he starts Harvey Elliott in this game, because particularly he's not even in the matchday squads in midweek. Now, that could be part of some players need to play. Mm-hmm. And we've seen, you know, again, going back to the minutes, Virgil van Dijk has played every game. He's played 540 minutes since coming back from the international break. He's been ridiculous. He's the player who needs that. We've played Mane more often than not. We've played Salah more often than not once they've returned from AFCON. Elliot, what I'm kind of driving at here is that I think we'll all broadly agree your best quality all-round experience, balance, all that stuff is Henderson, Thiago Fabinho.
Yeah.
But, wow, if he just goes to Harvey Elliott, yeah, mate. Mm. He throws him in the San Siro last week. He's put him in against Chelsea before. It's not outside the realms of possibility that he could go balls out and go with Harvey Elliott.
Yeah, I do, but I agree. And like I said, I think him or Kate to start on wouldn't throw me. I would probably think I might not have done that, but you know, I'm not paid to make that decision. I'm just a fan. But you know, the thing is, in a cup final, what you probably want to do, and this is the reason why cup finals are usually quite crap, is you want to not lose the game in the first half. Mm-hmm. You want to go out there, control the play. And I think with Henderson, with a balance, because one of my biggest criticisms of the criticism of Henderson is people haven't taken circumstance and context into the situation. The guy's played all three positions every week, changing with different partners because we've had problems. You know, Fabinho's luxury is he comes in and plays one role, and then he goes out and he comes back and plays one role.
Yeah.
So, but now you've got the opportunity for Jordan Henderson to be Jordan Henderson, to be the guy we know. We don't have to go running across the pitch, control and play, because that's what Thiago's there for. What we need you for is to dominate that right-hand side and play those balls you play, help Trent. And that's what we all say Henderson's best at. I think... Like, use Real Madrid as an example. I don't know where they are now, maybe, but we know we're going to be playing against Casemiro, Modric and Cruz, so we can plan for that. You can plan all you want, mate, but if they turn up, and I think you can plan all you want for us, but if Jordan Henderson, Thiago, Fabinho turned up, we'll win the game. If they turn up and play well, it doesn't matter what Chelsea do.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point. And the good thing is there's a few different variations in there, and as I say earlier, so it's not working, you need to change things. You might look at it and decide the flow of the game, you need to go a shade more attacking. Well, there you go. Look what we saw the other week. Look what Kate has been able to do coming into games or even starting games. I think a lot of it will depend. I think the point is he's got so many great choices and options there. I don't think Curtis will be considered.
No.
I don't think Ox will be considered. Mm. I think Fabinho starts nailed on. The balance of probabilities is that Thiago and Henderson, but then you've got, I think it will be Keita and Elliot, I think, are your other two big potentials there.
Wild cards for the starting berth, aren't they, really? Yeah.
And I don't think any of us would be particularly, I don't think, shocked. Be like, oh, pleasantly surprised. But it depends how you want to start. I think what you want the first 60 minutes to look like, what's your ideal? And it's whether we want to go more gung-ho, and then what do we want the final 30 to look like? Are we looking to go up a gear and go more attacking and keep battering at Chelsea, or are we looking to then gain a real strong measure of control and just take the ball away from them? and we don't know this, but there's conversations happening and probably have been happening for a little while at the AXA of how they, what their ideal game state looks like, what's their worst case scenario, and that will impact that. But all I'd say on this, what a wonderful, wonderful like problem to have, because we're sat here, we know it, but also you could conceivably, like, it could be Keita and Thiago start.
Yeah, could.
It could be, you know, it could be, probably won't be, but it could be Henderson in the six. There's a variety of things that we can do here.
Absolutely.
And even looking at the forward options, you know, in terms of injuries, it's a race against time for Jota and Firmino. I think Klopp's been very clever with this, Steve. We touched on this in part one. They'll do everything in their power to get them on the bench. You'd be surprised if either of those started, but if he's going to take a risk on anyone, it's going to be Diogo Jota. Mm-hmm. I think he will use every trick in the book, not just, you know, in the physio department or whatever, but psychologically to make it be known that we've got these lads, just to try and obfuscate the decision making process.
I think for Jota, realistically, bench is probably as good as it's going to be, because an ankle ligament injury is a difficult one to rehabilitate. It was interesting last night, Klopp made comments about Mane playing through the centre, and he was prepared to commit defenders and take people on, which for me is probably the biggest indicator that the front three will be Diaz, Mane and Salah.
Yes.
And of the players that are available, it probably should be. Yeah. Well, not probably should be, it should be.
Definitely.
And this is the conversation. You can look at that and then think about the midfield again. Let's say we do what we did at Stamford Bridge and we start with Elliot and we go 2-0 up, and you're talking about that last 30 minutes and you look across and there's Henderson coming on to shore up the ship and make sure you get across the line. If you play him, you don't have him to bring on. It's really, the permutations are ridiculous, and it really depends on whether Klopp goes and tries to take the game to Chelsea or we have a bit of a chess match. It really depends on what we choose to do.
Got our good friend in the comments, Chris Carnton. Bobby is out. Well, yeah, though. I mean, fingers.
It's a muscle injury, isn't it? It's always difficult.
I would be surprised, given how they were talking about him the other week. But yeah, Jota's the one, you know, pour all your efforts into there. Just having him there, you know, if he's just fit enough to be on the bench, have him on the bench and just keep Tuchel guessing on that.
Yeah.
The good thing, you know, just as an undercurrent to all this, we touched upon him from the last League Cup final. Origi's come back at the right time. I'd rather us not have to rely upon a Divock Origi moment, but just getting a couple of sub appearances for him in the last week, you know, having that involvement in the goal against Leeds on Wednesday night. Sam, I agree. If Jota's not fit to be involved, then I think the front three picks itself, and I think Mane does start, and I think that's why Mane starts the last couple of games, because maybe that's an inkling that let's get them some games together in that setup. But knowing that you've got Divock there as a break glass option, like, that does make me feel a lot more relaxed, because if you're missing Jota and Mane and Taki was your option, and to be fair, he's been the League Cup king so far this season, by the way.
But we're just playing in it.
But I do feel encouraged by just the sight of having Divock around.
Yeah, I mean, what I like how we can use Divock now is, previously we've had to use him as a, right, Mane's tired, go on and play left mid, you know, go left wing forward, whatever you want to call it, or, you know, go on, Bobby looks a bit tired, go and play up front, run around a bit. Whereas now, because of what we've got available to us, you can bring him on to change the system, which can then make us more attacking and throw the other team defensively, because obviously all their plans for who they're marking at what point in the game, as we saw against Norwich, is changed.
Yeah.
Just to come back to your point about the three forwards, we've scored in 9 goals in 2 games, and 7 of them have been scored by the front three.
Yeah.
I know Diaz only got one, but he got one. Mm-hmm. I think Diaz is a big plus for us in this game, because there's not really much form for what he's like, you know, as a player to play against. And also, against the back three, if he's in that channel running at centre-backs, you've got problems, because he's quicker than probably, you know, Mane, and I don't know how quick he is against Mo with the ball. But I'd say he's definitely up there. I think, you know, committing the Christiansens, the Thiago Silvers, that's a problem for them, because we know Rudiger's going to be on Salah's side more than likely. And I think that gives us a bit of an edge. I think we know their team. We've seen them played against them. They've got experience. Sometimes you can't stop anything, but they don't know what's going on. They don't know what Diaz does. There's no real footage to say that's exactly what he's going to do in this position.
Yeah.
I think that helps us a lot.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it obviously will depend on how they do line up and who's the right side of centre-half, who's the right wing-back. You know, if Reece James is there, cool, but he's coming back in.
Doubt it. Yeah, just can't see it.
If not, it'll be Azpilicueta, which is, you know, he's a much much better right side of centre half than he is a right wing back, certainly at this time of his career. Albeit he'll give you every, you know, he'll do every dirty trick in the book, and he's brilliant. He's really good.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
But I would like Luis Diaz's pace to be, you know, to really, really test them down that side. Very, very exciting indeed. We have got plenty more still to discuss. We're going to have a read through some of you guys' comments and super chats and Club Legend Discord comments, and a few other bits and pieces. But yes, just to bring your attention to the fact that it is Wembley week. Don't know if you've heard. Countdown to the League Cup final. We have got so much amazing content on Redmen Plus, not just extra studio shows, but documentaries, features, podcasts, and interviews. Here's a little glimpse of some of the stuff we're up to. Hey everyone, it's Wembley week across the Red Men Network. We have got a bunch of free and premium content for you guys to get you ready pre, during and post the League Cup final. Oh yes, it all kicked off with an In Conversation with Stuart Downing, the last man to win Man of the Match when Liverpool won a League Cup final back in 2012. Stuart lifts the lid on what it was like to be on the pitch and in the dressing room in and around that game, his time under Kenny Dalglish, and the fallings out with Brendan Rodgers. We move forward. Liverpool, the League Cup story, a five-part premium podcast series looking at all of Liverpool's previous eight League Cup wins. Me sat down talking to journalists who covered the Reds at the time. In addition to that, we've also got Silverware Stories, a brand new series authored by Hollyoaks' own James Sutton. It's like CBeebies bedtime stories, but it's the Reds, and it's got incredible insight from men who were involved with the match at the time, the 2001 Women's Cup final, in the words of Phil Thompson, Jamie Carragher, Emil Heskey, Marcus Babbel, Sander Westerveld, and Birmingham's goal scorer Darren Pearce. A fascinating storybook insight into that game. And don't forget as well, on our normal raft of Redmen Plus content, it's a League Cup final themed debate show midweek. We're going to have an Oppo preview. We're going to have the usual free content available on the Redmen YouTube channel. There will be the starting 11 prediction. There will be the build-up show. There will be the watch-along and the post-match videos. But we've also got an incredibly special, different show harking back to the old-school deadline day shows. It is the countdown to kickoff live from the Redmen studio. Fun party games and bevvies with a whole host of our best contributors and Club Legend subscribers as well in the build. And don't forget, post-match, you'll have the instant match reaction and the day later, the final word show. And, of course, we'll have content from Wembley itself with Chris and me. Yes, it's Wembley week here and beyond across the Red Men Network. If you want all of it, then subscribe to Red Men Plus. Go to theredmentv.com. Sign up at either tier, Club Legend or Club Captain. Get the content. Club Legend to get extra perks. Perfect time to follow the mighty Reds on Red Men Plus. Yes, Wembley week in full effect over on Redmen Plus. Head over there. Actually, as well, we've been referring to this chart that we've knocked up with the minutes and stuff. We're actually going to put that into the post for this show over on Redmen Plus as well. So if you head to the redmentv.com and then have a little look through, the Uncensored Match Build-Up Show is there on the website. Ross is doing that right now if he's checked his messages. You just click through, and then if you want to have a little look and see what the numbers mean to you. But it was a really interesting thing to see how they've managed that. And if you want to join Redmen Plus, then yeah, head over there and click the big yellow Join Now button and get involved with all of our great content between here and the rest of the season. Loads more still to come. Right. We've kind of talked around it, but you mentioned the centre half thing in the break there. Go on, give us your 11, Sam. What are you going for?
I think I'm going for my team the most experienced possible. My 11 isn't going to be the 11 because we already know that
Kelleher's
going to go. Yeah. And it is what it is. But where we are now is legacy building. So mine is Alisson, Trent. I would go Matip and Van Dijk, although we did have a discussion about Konate, Robertson, Henderson, Fabinho, Thiago, Diaz, Mane, Salah. I think it picks itself, but we know he's told Kelleher.
Yeah. The goalkeeper thing, we've actually not talked about it yet. I agree. Alisson is not just the best goalie in the world, but he's in incredible form at the moment as well. However, and I think a lot of people won't get on with this notion, but Klopp is building and Liverpool don't just play game to game. They build for this year and next year and the year after and the year after. And there's a, and I like the metaphysical way of describing this, but 5 years from now, we're sat doing build-up shows for a massive game of football and Cueven Kelleher's Liverpool's first-choice goalie. Like, there's a potential timeline there where that happens, and it all stems back to we trusted him in League Cup games, we trusted him in FA Cup games, trusted him when the goalie was injured over Adrian, and then we trusted him in this final, and that's the, and that was the making of him. And we end up with a £75 million goalkeeper that we didn't have to pay for this time around. So our hearts and nerves, we'll probably all bottle it, but this is why Liverpool have gotten to where they are, because this is the way they manage things.
Well, he's not let us down when he's played. He's been totally reliable and there's never been an issue with him. I think the one thing we've spoken about before was the game against Chelsea when Pulisic scored. Van Dijk runs away from the ball to cover the right-hand side of the goal, because in the real world, Alisson's coming off his line to close down the space that Pulisic can use. Kelleher has stayed at home, so it looks like a really soft goal to give away. On the flip side of that, in the recent games that Kelleher has played, he started to develop the sweeper-keeper role a little bit more, and we've seen a bit more of him outside of the box. We may need to see that on Sunday, because that will be an obvious tactic for Chelsea to try and go in behind us. But I've got no concerns about him playing. You know, who am I? I'm just a guy that talks about football. But at the end of the day, Jurgen Klopp's happy for him to play. So get with it, enjoy it. The lad's got to have a great experience. You're quite right. It is sort of future-proofing the squad, because if you don't give this guy these opportunities in a year, 18 months' time, he's going to want to be a number one somewhere else.
Well, yeah,
but
absolutely.
We've got to give him, his moment under the lights.
Mm-hmm. There's also a point to be made where Liverpool bow to the Champions League in the season we win the league because Adrian has an absolute stinker at Anfield. You don't want this situation to arise, but you've got to prepare for the worst case scenarios down the line. And not just, I'm talking about 5 years down the line, you know, this season, Liverpool could end up in a Champions League final and Alisson could be injured in the week leading up to it. And, you know, all of a sudden you're dropping Kelleher in. Okay, the step up to a Champions League final is huge regardless, but you would ease that step up from just having him had this kind of experience.
Yeah, and the Adrian one's interesting because that was forced. He also got us kicked out of the FA Cup by being crap away at Chelsea as well. Listen, Adrian's been great for us for what we got him for. We got more than what we ever bargained for, but he has cost us. But this is a choice. This is the difference. It's a choice. And he was fantastic away at Arsenal as well. Did Alisson play the home game? I can't remember. I think he did.
Because
he
had COVID.
Yes.
Had to get him
but Kelleher played away at Arsenal. Did what he needed to do. Yeah. You know, and to sort of go along with that as well, to caveat that, there's a good chance Chelsea play their second keeper, because that's what they do. That's what clubs do. City have always done it. You know, maybe the odd time Edison played. But realistically, it's been, you use your second choice goalkeeper in the League Cup. So what makes squad harmony is that they'll all back him as well.
Yeah.
All the players will back him. They'll all be behind Klopp. And I think that's what makes us such a special team. You don't get the Joe Matip shirt getting held up by Van Dijk last night if they're not together. They're not brothers. Mm. They're not in it till the end. Give every blood and sweat.
Yeah. And Alisson will be there on the bench. You know, the warm-up process, he'll be the one, you know, he'll be part of the team warming Kelleher up, and because they've got a proper bond. You know, I did a great interview with John Achterberg earlier on in the season, and that's the way they talked about it, like they're a little squad in and amongst themselves. And you're right, you know, the levels of support will be that there's no bitterness, there's no snidiness amongst it. They all sharpen each other's skills. And I think this probably impacts what happens elsewhere on the pitch, maybe in terms of the selection. We'll talk about that. We had a great comment here, actually. Let me just quickly find it from Matt. It says, Jurgen Klopp, John Achterberg and Claudio Taffarel have deemed Kelleher good enough to start this game. If that's not enough, I don't know what is. And that's it. And again, a lot of it just boils down to, like, you want your best players on the pitch, because we put the trust of our happiness into these lads.
Yes,
so we want to put the biggest names, the most experienced, the most expensive lads out there. Of course you would, because that's how, because we can't control it. Yeah. But to the point, you're right, Kelleher's been great for
us. But are we doing what we talked about with Curtis Jones, where we're trying to compare Kelleher against Alisson, because that would be really easy to do. And I've talked to you about this before, Paul, and you've said, Kelleher doesn't have the aura that Alisson's got in terms of Alisson's a unit, he's a big guy, fills you with confidence. Mm-hmm. Kelleher doesn't look the same. Mm-hmm. So straight away you're thinking, oh, but you shouldn't be, because as that lad said on the message there, as we've quite rightly pointed out before, we've got to start judging these players on their own merits rather than comparing them against other players within the squad, because you're never going to get what you want out of that conversation, are you?
Yeah, no, it's true. And again, we mentioned before, he's played Chelsea already this season, so he's got that to draw upon. He's a really good goalkeeper. He's a really, really good goalkeeper. We're spoiled in so many. It's because we've got when you've got the best in the world, anyone else is going to be worse.
Yeah,
you could go tell me who's the second best goalie in the world. Take your pick. Is it Oblak? Yeah. Is it Edison? Yeah. Is it Neuer? The worst than Alisson. So even if we had them, you'd be putting your second choice in, you'd be more relaxed because they're clearly at a higher standard, you know, because that's the further on in their careers. But it is what it is, isn't it? And there's a good point actually being made. I think it's Easy Ollie in the comments. He reckons Kepa will play. That'd be an interesting decision to make on Chelsea's behalf. Whether they Kepa's being the cup goalie for them as well. Do they put them in? I'd rather have right here, right now, and this can change as a goalkeeper. Having been one, you're only ever as good as your boss until you make a mistake, and every goalkeeper can make a mistake. Mm-hmm. But Kepa's proven himself to have loads of mad moments.
He's like Mignolini. He's a good goalie, but he lost that trust. There's baggage there.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's baggage against us. Do you remember the game I think it was at their place. He just passes Mane the ball or something like that, and he taps it in. Yeah, I think the mentality of Mendy not playing, the way he's come in and settled them a lot when he came in, is different, because we're kind of over the whole, we've got Alisson now. It's like he's just part of it, and we're now on that next process of building the next goalkeeper. And like, you know, there's a big thing you said there, if Taffarel, like, that still makes me smile that we've got him in our coaching staff. But he's obviously an Alisson, you know, I'm in the Alisson camp because he's the Brazil goalkeeper coach. If a goalkeeper like him is also behind Kelleher, that is just as big, if not bigger, than Akterbeg, because Akterbeg's known him for years. If this guy comes in and goes, no, I'm with you, as an ex-legend, World Cup winner, I'm with you, Kelleher's got it. Yeah. I think that gives him so much confidence.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, even to the point, Mendy's been brilliant for them. I don't fear him. I feared goalkeepers as well. I think he's got a mistake in him. We've seen that, you know, in games as well. Yeah, nobody's perfect, but Liverpool have got some great options. And I do think, actually, in terms of the centre-back choice, Steve, I wouldn't be shocked if Konate just comes in and starts this game. If they're going to start Lukaku or Havertz, I'd be more than happy to see that as a thing. I guess Konate might have a good idea on Havertz as well. I'm sure he will have come up against them in the Bundesliga, Leverkusen, but I wonder whether if you're going to go with Kelleher, then that maybe just says, you know what, just go Van Dijk and Mata, put your best nail on.
If you look at it, we talked in the final word about we'd love to see Matip striding out the back four with the ball. So if you flip that and say he gets dispossessed and they put a quick ball in behind Trent, you've got recovery speed in Konate. You might be looking at that because Ziyech doesn't have pace, but he has quality. Mm. So there's a different threat there, if you like. And you alluded to it at the start of the show that Wembley's a big old pitch, mate. There's lots of opportunities to put a ball with backspin in behind the back four and have a runner go in there and try and win it. Konate's going to do his job as a defender first and foremost. Matip's going to do his job as what Matip does.
Yeah.
It's unpredictable in lots of ways in terms of stepping out with the ball, dropping his shoulder, going past the man, and suddenly he's the guy playing Salah in. But Chelsea are not Leeds. If that breaks down, Chelsea will hurt you if that goes wrong. Mm. So there's an argument to say, I don't think Lukaku plays personally because I think they're better without him, which is ridiculous for 97 million quid signing, by the way. And I'm not going to get into that conversation, but I think they are more of a threat without him.
Yeah.
You kind of got to pick. If we have to combat a spell of pressure from Chelsea, who handles that the best?
Yeah,
and Konate is as quick, if not quicker, than Van Dijk. He's bigger than Van Dijk. You know, there's lots of attributes that lend itself to covering the area in behind Trent. Mm-hmm. If we don't play Henderson and we play Elliott, that exaggerates the need to have a bit of extra pace on that side even more. It's the conundrums are created. You could sit here till 5 o'clock tonight and we still wouldn't agree.
And that's and you're right. And Chelsea are having these same things with Liverpool. As much as we're reasonably set on what our 11 will be, you know, there are those options there that exist, and we've got so much quality that you're right. Chelsea can hurt you in a bunch of different ways. I agree. I think their best team has Havertz in leading the line rather than Lukaku, but he keeps going back to Lukaku because he's kind of got to.
Lukaku's a more dangerous player isolated. Like, if Lukaku's on his game, he's a better player than Havertz in that he can run at you and barge players off the ball. So it's a really strange one, because if I had to pick a player who's going to play for my team, take a Chelsea out of it, Liverpool out of it, I'm picking Lukaku and I'm working around his game.
Yeah.
But for that team, Havertz is better. Which also kind of makes it interesting, because if Havertz has a fantastic game, of course he can cause us chaos in between the lines. But if he doesn't, it helps us because he doesn't have pace.
Yeah.
If he's breaking the lines, then there's problems.
Yeah. I mean, it's all about who you're getting around, and really, isn't it, if it's Havertz? And that's the point. He's more Bobby-ish for them than Lukaku's tip of the spear stuff. Just interesting, actually, just on Chelsea, they don't score. They don't score loads of goals, but they spread the goals out. Mm. Jorginho is their top goal scorer in all comps this season with 9.
Nine goals.
Yeah.
Hasn't Bobby got 9 goals in all comps?
Lukaku's got 8. Mason Mount, who's out, 7.
He was on the bench, though, was he? Sorry, you're right. He's
on his way back in this. I apologise. Hakim Ziyech might not be, but he's got 7 goals. Kai Havertz has got 6. Timo Werner has got 6. Reece James has got 5. Pulisic's got 4. To the point, they've got a bunch of different ways to hate you, but none quite as obvious as all the ones that we've got, which hopefully bears fruit.
So he didn't come on.
Yeah,
they'll
be trying everything in their power to get him in, because he's massive for them, isn't he? But anyway, I think we're all settled on our 11 then, I believe. It's going to be...
Did we go with Matip? What did you think, Steve?
Go with Matip.
Difficult one for me, I think, because of the size of the pitch.
Get off the fence.
I'm going to plump for Konate because of the defensive recovery speed.
Wow. Okay,
fair enough.
Yeah. I think if we believe Lukaku's playing, Van Dijk deals with Lukaku as he always has. Van Dijk would be like, bring him to me. Mm-hmm. I'll show you what I'm capable of. Another opportunity to show everybody he's back. Not that he's worried about that for a second, because he's super cool and chilled out, isn't he? But I just think. Big pitch, great opportunity for Trent to be the creative influence, to be the risk taker, to be the guy that does the playmaking.
I'm not against the world where we did this against Leicester in the League Cup, where Canate come on late and just basically shut absolutely everything down. And you start Matip, because I feel they'll start Havertz, but they'll bring Lukaku into the game, and they bring Lukaku on, and we'll go, all right, Matip, thanks very much. You've played a lot of footy there.
Mm.
We bring Konate on, and because Konate's handled those big lads so well so far this season.
Yeah, they bring their big guy on, so we get an even bigger one.
Yeah, exactly. Right, we had some comments and stuff while we've been doing this from our Club Legend Discord chat. Firstly, one that was left over from the Final Word show. Liam Bento saying, thoughts on Klopp giving it bifters with the fist pump celebration after the game? Is he starting to believe the quadruple is on? I don't know about him, but I am. And that was the most important point of this. Yeah, that was a magical moment on the Kop last night. To the point, you know, we can speak about this probably not now because of the build-up for the League Cup, but we need to park all that talk now because it's one game of football away from it being all over.
And no trophies. Yeah. So let's go get, could be none.
Let's talk about it when we've done 3 in the bag and we're going to the fourth game.
100%.
Benfica in the final.
Rushi says, I think the midfield pretty much going to be Thiago, Fab, Hendo. However, who's the fourth man in all of this? I.e. 1-0 down at half time. Who do you bring on to impact the game? And maybe who do you take off for me? It's Elliot or Keita.
Agreed.
I agree with that. I think your three game changes, if we go with roughly the team we've discussed, Keita, Elliot and Divock, because it's Divock and he's built for those.
Or Jota.
Depending on
where he's at.
Depending on where he's at, definitely.
I mean, there's 5 subs, isn't there, plus one?
Yeah.
5 subs plus the extra for injuries. I mean, you can change 6 players.
Yeah.
That benefits us, looking at the injury crisis at the moment and the form crisis at Chelsea. That benefits us. They've got players they won't want to leave the pitch. Like, they don't want Kante coming off. If they haven't got Kovacic, they've only really got... I mean, I believe they brought Loftus-Cheek on the other day, didn't they?
Yeah, and Saul comes on as well.
I mean, if they're having to bring those two on against us, we should be confident. So where's Jorginho?
I really like Loftus-Cheek. I'm not going to say
no. He's decent. No, he's decent. Yeah. But I mean, in terms of the top end,
we
of
know
the game,
what their best midfield, three best midfielders.
So I don't know. I didn't see the game. Kante and Jorginho, were they just not about, or were they on the pitch at the time? I don't know.
Kante, I don't know, took up. Kante was playing. Kante was really good in that.
Yeah, he was in that game.
Be interesting to see. They're balancing a few injury issues. The Kovacic stuff. They'll be doing everything in their power. It's weird that. I don't know, and this is mad to say, but I don't wish injury upon anyone, but if Kovacic isn't fit to start that game, I think that's a really good thing for us, because I think he's such a fantastic footballer. And you're right, if they're in a world where they're having to make do and mend a little bit, then yeah, and whereas Liverpool are in a position where we're going, oh, do we start our £50 million centre midfielder, or do we start our wonder kid in midfield, or we just go with our midfield three that's won every trophy, major honour that you can win.
Unbeaten between them as well.
Yeah,
you make it sound so easy, Paul.
I know, let's hope so. Conor McMullen sends a super chat in, says, just caught the back end of the show, but what a result last night, what a performance, surely that gives the squad a huge boost of confidence. You'd certainly hope so. I mean, in terms of like, we joked in the studio about like the go home show. It's like the Raw or the SmackDown before WrestleMania, and everyone goes off with a big high and can't wait for the big event on the horizon. You couldn't have primed this any better than it.
Can I just add some input? Don't have any more comments. But one thing we haven't talked about all game is this is like the ultimate set piece off.
Yes,
City are good at it as well, but Chelsea have scored a lot of hit. Rudiger's dangerous in the air, and Thiago Silva scored a few as well. We've been great at both ends, but obviously Chelsea have probably, they scored one against us this year. Really good, worked well, worked corner. If he does that again, fair play. But I think it's going to be important at both ends. It wouldn't surprise me if there's a goal from no set pieces, maybe penalties aside, in this game.
Well, that's the thing about Liverpool. I've been on the grind. You know, we go 6-0 against Leeds. I mean, it's two penalties in there, of course, but we've won games from corners and set pieces in this run. And that's what we were talking on the final way show about, how I feel like with Serena Williams coming towards one of the major opens, you're coming to Wimbledon, or you're coming towards the US or whatever, and you've been primed. This is what you've been, and Liverpool in that regard, it's not one match, but I think we've been primed for this run in, and particularly we're just looking at this game, the set pieces are up and running, the defence is up and running, the lads who've had injuries, you know, Virgil seems like he's back to his pinnacle again, Salah's come back from AFCON, any hangovers from not winning, that seems to be over, he's back in this goal scoring form, Mane's been reignited, we've had a Diaz to the squad who's hit the ground running in a big way. You know, Jota's been an absolute sensation in front of goal. We've got all the players that we need in midfield, back fit and available. Henderson's rediscovered his form. Thiago's discovered his fitness. Kate has discovered his fitness. Harvey Elliott's come back. It feels very right. Conor McMullen with one more super chat. If Jota is fit, do you start him and take out one of the front three that played last night? Big question.
No. Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Let's say he's 100% fit.
No.
Well,
he plays over Diaz for me.
Oh, okay, I see. Yeah, for me though, I think we've unearthed something with Mane. Jota's not going to be 100% fit. I see what you're saying. Yeah. In an ideal world, he would play. But even if he's running around training, firing now, I think Mane's got 3 goals in 2 games. He's better in the air than Jota, and I don't mean that on a header and a cross from Trent. I mean that in. He makes defenders win every single header. There's not this free header from Van Dijk where he just bullies people. Mane's up. Mane, you know, he's got that gnarliness about him. You know, he nearly got sent off at their place for getting in the face of a defender. You know, this is at a neutral venue. Mane wins his first couple of headers, battles in there. You know, I just feel like we're onto something here. Even if Jota's in full training from today, I'd still want to see Mane up front for this game.
I think if they're all fit, I think Diaz goes on the bench, because it's tried and tested, isn't it?
Mm. But do you think Jota, even if he's running around training fully fit today, starts after having a couple of games?
I think that was a best case, everyone fit type of scenario.
I suppose if he never got injured, then he would.
He definitely would. But I think
we alluded to it before. Klopp has come out and said, really pleased with what Sadio did. He's committing people and he's beating people. And as good as Thiago Silva is, and as good as Rudiger are, Thiago Silva isn't a youthful player, so he won't want that for the whole game.
Yeah.
And Rudiger's rash. Rudiger's a lunatic, so he's all capable of anything.
He is, isn't he? Yeah.
We have gone ridiculously over time on this show. I'll pose a question to the people watching and listening at home. Jota's not fully fit, but he's there. He's available for this game. Jota for 60 or Jota for 30 plus potentially extra time? What would you choose? Let me know in the comments underneath that. Starting 11 will follow on the channel later on Thursday. Quickly, actually, rather than score predictions, do you think Liverpool will win this one?
In normal time, yeah.
Okay.
Agree. In 90 minutes.
I think, and I did this on our TikTok, I think we will win, but it will be penalties.
Oh, boy.
I know.
Don't because do that.
No, I know. I wouldn't choose it. I just, the Super Cup, we've had the two draws with them so far this season, and we've been just Wembley. We've had too many penalty shootouts at Wembley in recent
which
times.
Which is such a great place to go and deal with it in normal time.
We're still going
to
win it.
I'm in here Monday as well.
What a way, what a way to do it if that is anyway. Look, it doesn't matter how Liverpool do it. Liverpool just win it. Right, sound. Yes, loads more to come from us, as mentioned. It's Wembley week on Redmen Plus. Thank you so much. We've had loads of people signing up and giving us great feedback on the content. You know, you've got James Sutton of Hollyoaks fame doing a CBBS-style bedtime stories, but also with stories from Phil Thompson and Marcus Babbel and Sander Vesterveld telling the story of the League Cup final win on the road to the treble, which could be very, very apt this season, I'm just saying. There's also a five-part premium podcast series, so if you're into your podcast, if you consume our content in podcast form, we've geared this up for that. It is a deeper look at how Liverpool won all of the 8 League Cups prior to this game. Get involved with that. The journalists and authors who covered them around the time. So it's not just us going, I really enjoyed that game. Mm-hmm. It's people really getting into the stories around what was the build-up and where Liverpool were at that time. There's that. And there's also an amazing sit-down interview with Stuart Downing, who won the Man of the Match the last time Liverpool won a League Cup final. And of course, we've got the usual build-up show, debate show. And on Sunday as well, free on YouTube, we've got the countdown to kick-off, an old-school Red Men full multiple studio show with members from our Club Legend Discord coming into the studio. We've got Steve's going to be in the room for that as well. It's going to be party central, so if you're a little bit nervous and need some coverage and content to keep you tidied over before kickoff at lunchtime on Sunday, that will be live on YouTube ahead of the usual watch along and post match stuff. Right. Oh, wow.
And breathe.
Good effort,
and
Paul.
And breathe. Jesus Christ. Right, just a small matter of going to Wembley in a cup final. I am buzzing. I hope you guys are too. It feels like a very special season is brewing indeed. But and what better way to kick that all off with a massive game of football against a bitter rival at a Boss Stadium and a piece of silverware on up for grabs. I'll be at Wembley. If you see me, come and say hello. Give us a cuddle.
Same, yeah.
And we'll have a boss time, hopefully, up the Reds.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.